people.
Don't you know?
Places.
Don't you know?
Events.
Don't you know?
From the campus of Winona State University, KQAL FM is proud to present
Don't You Know?
Today on Don't You Know, we sit down with Mike Speck, director of Short and Sweet, an evening of plays by David Ives. Short and Sweet is comprised of five short plays that will tickle your funny bone and make you think all at once. I'm Bill Stoneberg with Mike Speck, and this is Don't You Know. I'm with Mike Speck, director of Short and Sweet, an evening of plays with David Ives. That's showing February 16th through the 18th at Outpost Winona. How are you doing today, Mike?
Not too bad, thank you. How are you?
Good. It's glad to have you on the air today. First of all, Short and Sweet is comprised of five one-act plays by David Ives. Why did you choose David Ives? What process went into that?
A couple of reasons. First, I just love David Ives. The stuff that he writes, the sensibility, the comic sensibility that he has is really near and dear to me. And we decided that this would be a good time to do it because the Shakespeare Festival this summer is doing one of his long-form pieces, Venus in Fur.
Okay.
And so we thought that this might be an opportunity to take care of a couple of different things, but also to introduce Winona to this playwright, mm-hmm. who is extremely witty, extremely smart, does extremely interesting work, and we're doing some of his, I think, better-known short-form stuff, and then you can get a taste of something very, very different, but still very interesting at the Shakespeare Festival this summer.
Okay. Cool. How would you describe his plays for someone who isn't familiar with them?
Smart.
Okay.
If I had to choose just the one word, he's very witty, gets at kind of the same thing. He's got a great command of language. He's really good at taking a simple conceit and then spinning it out into a really clever 10-minute play. So, two mayflies going on a date.
Right.
That's what Time Flies is about, is two mayflies going on a date and figuring out, what's it like to only have, to have less than a day to live, because we're mayflies. writing that sort of exploration of a concept and turning it into something that's really dramatically interesting, effective, even a little touching from time to time.
Yes, they were indeed. And I know Time Flies and also Sure Thing have that kind of romantic context of first meetings. But all the plays seem to deal with other themes, place, timing, perspective. What are some of the themes that run through, these five plays? Why did you pick these five?
Admittedly, part of it was due to we wanted to do these plays somewhere that wasn't a traditional theater, and so I was looking for plays that really could be performed well in a found space, as it were, right? Something that doesn't have the stage audience separation, something that is. Plays that can work well in that setting. Mm-hmm. Thematically, you've touched on one, that sense of first meetings, and Sure Thing, of course, with the shtick, I guess, the conceit of the bell, where we go through every possible permutation of a first meeting from. Is this seat taken? Yes. Is this seat taken? Well, no, but I'm expecting somebody a minute. Is this seat taken? No, but I don't want you sitting here. All the way through, a first meeting that actually these two people connect and we get a sense that they have a future together.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in Sure Thing, but you also see it, of course, in Time Flies. You see it in English Made Simple as well. But where instead of the bell ding that we have for Sure Thing, it's looking at that meeting through the lens of language. And then that question of what else could there be blends into the Philadelphia, where what could be is, you know, anything as long as it's not what you ask for. Because in Philadelphia, you cannot get what you want. And then the fifth play there, Moby Dude, is kind of an outlier. I enjoy it very much, but I won't say that it ties in thematically to the other four very well. It's just very, very funny to me and easy to put on. And so when we were putting these together, I decided, you know what, it's going to be very easy to fit Moby Dude in there. So let's do that one as well.
Right. Right. And you kind of touched on the themes and the, you know, what happens in the most of the plays, but the dude one, the Moby Dude, can you tell us a little bit about what happens in that one? Cause that's a pretty humorous, short play.
I love it. Moby Dude is, set on the first day back at school and a 17-year-old, rising senior, was assigned to read Moby Dick, or the whale over the summer. And his English teacher, Mrs. Pogorsky, does not believe that he has actually done the reading and challenges him to summarize Moby Dick in 2 minutes. And he does.
And he does it quite
very,
well.
Very quickly.
Yes, he does. Yeah, that was pretty enjoyable. I watched a version of that online, and I had to laugh out loud.
Oh, it's good. It's good. And that, I think, is in some ways quintessential Ives. It's smart. It plays to, you know, the idea and the theme of Moby Dick, but it is condensed and it is concise and it is really, really funny. This whole evening of plays is going to take less than an hour, right? There is a lot of humor packed into a very, very short time frame, which is why we can afford to do two shows a night. And so I think audiences who come to see this, a lot of people describe the 10-minute play as a stroke of theatrical lightning, and that's what we're going to get in these shows.
Cool, cool. What do you think it is about David Ives' plays that appeals to audiences?
That humor. He's very good at establishing expectations and playing with them and tweaking them in ways that make sense, but that you don't necessarily see coming. Without spoiling too much, one of the other plays that's not in this evening is Universal Language, and we discover in the first minute of that play the idea that there is this universal language that this guy has designed to invent universal brotherhood, and then we spend 15 minutes playing with that language and seeing what can be done with it. And it's wonderful to watch as an audience member because it's silly and it's, you know, there's nothing in this that necessarily makes you think, oh, this is deep and meaningful. It's funny. Mm-hmm. There's lots of humor to it. But then if you take the time, if you want to take the time to unpack it later, there's certainly a lot there to think about, to analyze, to philosophize about. And if you don't want to do that, then you just watch some very funny plays, and there's value in that as well.
Right, right. It's good entertainment. Plus, it can make you think if you want to.
If you want to, and it doesn't. It doesn't talk down to the people who just want some entertainment, but man alive is the philosophy there if you want to dig into it.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is. What made you want to do the five short plays as opposed to one play?
Opportunity, experimentation.
Okay.
Ives. Part of it is that Ives' specialty is that 10-minute form. You know, he's written longer form stuff like Venus and Fur, like Don Juan in Chicago, Ancient History. He's written some of the full length stuff, but what he's really known for is that 10-minute, upgraded sketch almost.
Okay.
That was something that I had a lot of interest in sitting down and working with.
Cool, cool. Does the venue play a part in how you set these up and how you directed it?
It almost has to. That's the wonderful thing about theater, right? Is it really does have a strong relationship to the place where you are seeing these plays. And so having something that, as I said earlier, it's not designed to be a theater. It's a place where you can potentially wander in off the street and discover these plays happening.
Mm-hmm.
You can sit down. There's no gatekeeping. There's no you don't have to go through separate layers of buying the ticket and then finding your way in and then finding concessions. It's all kind of right there. And relatedly, too, once you get to your seat, the action is right on top of you. I'm directing these in an alley style, so we've got audience on both sides. So, absolutely, watch the play, enjoy the play, but then you're also you are there and you are present to your fellow audience members as well. And so the experience of watching with them, I think, is magnified.
Okay. So it's a alley type, is that what it's
yep.
called?
Okay. Yep. We were looking at doing it in the round, and then I looked at one wall and I'm like, you know, I want to keep this free for something else. So instead of in the round and having seats on all sides, I cut it down to seats on the two long walls. And so we're doing it at an alley setup.
Okay. How long have you been working on these plays?
Believe not that long.
Okay.
Just started pretty quick after the new year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that, again, is something that we can do because the plays are short. I've got a great cast, and it's not like anyone has to memorize a full-length play, because that would be a whole lot to ask of them mm-hmm. in such a short time frame. And here they've got a couple of one-acts of 10-minute plays, and they're all doing a really strong job of getting off book, getting their lines down, remembering the staging that we set from rehearsal to rehearsal. And so they haven't even seen each other's shows yet for the most part.
Oh, wow.
And so we're looking forward to that. I think some of these are really ready to get an audience, get in front of an audience.
Okay. What's it like? Is it quite a bit different to direct the short form rather than the long form? What are the major challenges of that?
You're asking the wrong person. Directing is not really a thing that I do a whole lot of.
Oh, okay.
It was an opportunity that popped up and in this case, and I was like, yes, please. I think one of the big tweaks in the theater artist saying is that 90% of directing is casting the right people.
Okay.
And I think that's a wonderful thing in terms of these 10-minute plays is I have more flexibility in my casting. I can go to folks who have huge schedule conflicts and say, you know what, you're really right for this part, and I couldn't cast you as Juliet or as Hamlet because they're in so much of those plays. But for this part, for this 10-minute play, I can make your schedule work. And so it really frees me in terms of who I can ask to commit and to be part of these shows.
Okay. Do you have, you mentioned Moby Dude earlier as something that was pretty funny to you. Do you have a favorite out of these five plays?
Oh, it changes every night I have rehearsal, honestly, because
cool.
we look at these and it's like, oh, okay, that's so good. That's so good. I don't know.
Kind of a tough one there, huh?
It really is. Sure Thing might be the funniest of the five, just in terms of its script.
Mm-hmm.
Sam, who's doing Moby Dude for me, is really finding some fun and interesting stuff there. The folks in English Made Simple have this really tight tight timing going for their play. Philadelphia is just situationally funny, and the actors there are doing a nice job with it, and ditto with Time Flies. So it, all five of these plays are have different kinds of humor, play to different things that are funny. And like I said, for me, my favorite of them changes basically every time I see one rehearsed.
So
to go back to your earlier question, I think that might be another fun part of the 10-minute format of the multiple short plays is, I think audiences are going to like all of these, but if there's one that you don't like, you don't have to wait that long before we move on to something else, and hopefully that one will work better for you.
Right.
You know, I'm sure people are going to have favorites. No harm, no foul in having favorites. But I hope that people like at least most of these, if not all five of them.
Yeah, I think if you like one, you're going to get into them all. At least I did. You know,
they're
all funny in their own right, and they all have their own kind of quirky things going on. So they're all really fun, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What do you hope that people would take away from these performances when they walk out the door after seeing them? You know, other than just being, you know, laughing for a little while.
There's nothing wrong with laughing as a goal. I think that's, you know, let's go ahead and say that up front. If all that happens is someone's night is a little lighter and a little funnier because they came to see these plays, I will feel good about that.
Cool.
I hope that that people get a chance to go downtown and explore downtown a little bit while they come to see these shows. Check out the Outpost, see what they've got there, see what the rest of the block and the rest of the downtown area has in the open in the evening. I hope people recognize some of these local actors who we've got in and look for opportunities to see them again in our shows, in the Shakespeare Festival over in Fountain City for the River Players, in the HCO, musicals, right? We've got all kinds of good art happening here, and I hope that people look for opportunities to see more of these folks. In the best of all possible worlds, people will discover a new playwright that they never knew about before or hadn't heard much of before, and will get really excited to discover more of his stuff.
Okay, nice. Well, it certainly sounds like it's going to be a fun time. And like I said earlier, they're showing February 16th through the 18th, right, at Outpost
yep.
Winona?
Yep.
Okay.
Two shows, a 7 o'clock and a 9 o'clock on both Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
And 4 o'clock on Sunday.
Okay, cool. Where can people get tickets for these shows?
Online is the best. Theatertomiss.org.
Okay.
And tickets are $10 a pop, but you can get 2 for $18 if you use the discount code SWEET.
Okay.
To check out.
Okay, great. And like I said, this is February 16th through the 18th. We've been talking to Mike Speck, the director of Short and Sweet, An Evening of Plays by David Ives, and that's showing at the Outpost Winona. So thanks for being with us today, Mike.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, great. Well, this has been Don't You Know, and I'm here with Mike Speck, and have a great day. Thanks again to Mike Speck for joining us today on Don't You Know. More information on Short and Sweet can be found at theaterdomiss.org. Short and Sweet will be showing February 16th through the 18th at Outpost Winona, 119 East 3rd Street in downtown Winona. I'm Bill Stoneberg, and this has been Don't You Know.
Thanks for listening to Don't You Know. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Don't You Know is produced by KQAL-FM to keep you up to date on the people, places, and events in and around Winona. Visit us online at kqal.org.